This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. With the simple motto to recycle, reduce and reuse, Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair have been quietly and consistently working towards a collective sustainable future by practicing what they preach. So this movement of DIY enthusiasts have greatly reduced waste by reusing broken items around them, either by repairing them or making them into something new. So the recent devastating floods that hit Malaysia back in December resulted in the damage and loss of so many household electric and electronic items, but volunteers from Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair and more have stepped in to help those affected as much as they can by working to extract, clean, diagnose and repair various household items. So I'm going to find out more about this from Johnson Lam, the founder and brains behind Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair. Welcome, Johnson. How are you today?
Hello, Julia. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. And yeah, I'm great. Feeling great.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me, Johnson. You know, it's been I think the last time we caught up was back in 2018, where you spoke to me on Earth Matters about everything that, you know, Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair did. I guess, you know, for the benefit of those who are unfamiliar, maybe you can remind us about what it is Khaki DIY and Khaki Repair stand for and what it is that you guys do.
All right. So Khaki DIY basically is an educational entity. We are trying to educate on, you know, DIY, which is do it yourself. And we focus on the motto reduce, reuse and recycle. But of course, reduce, reuse and recycle is not just applied to material stuff. It's not all about, you know, recycling stuff and how to reduce waste, right? We actually also focus into reducing like human resource wastage of human resources. Okay. Yeah, we are trying to recycle and reuse good process and methods, and then we add on to it. That's how innovation starts, right? Mm-hmm. And Khaki DIY focuses a lot, of course, on upcycling, but also the current trend and how do we collaborate and use resources together. For example, even like drones and 3D printing and AR, VR, right? And for Khaki Repair, it is actually 100%, okay, not for profit. It is a movement that teaches people how to repair your own broken items. So Khaki Repair before the COVID pandemic is actually a physical event. We have it once a month all around in Klang Valley and also in Penang and Sabah and Sarawak, mm-hmm. where participants will bring in their own broken items, not to get it fixed, but to learn together with the volunteers and to the helpers on how to diagnose and then learn to fix it themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So because, you know, in terms of repairing, a lot of people keep on giving these three excuses. And I would say excuses, not reasons, right? Okay. Because they will say that, you know, they don't have space to do that, they don't have the tools and they don't have the know-how. But in today's world, know-how is something unforgivable, sort of, because it's so easy for you to find information online, YouTube, and Google, and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But however, to cater and to solve this particular pain point, Khaki Repair was created because in this platform, you know, tools are provided because we will provide the tools, we provide the space together with the, you know, volunteers. So this, all these three excuses were provided already. So the only excuse, yeah, to not fix is not coming out. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yes, and I know, I remember so clearly our conversation then. You're saying like, people used to treat it as like a place for them to go and come and get their stuff fixed and hoping that you guys would do it. But that's completely not the point. The point is for you to learn how to do it so that you can carry on that knowledge and help others as well, isn't it? So like I said, we last spoke in 2018. Of course, you know, things have changed. COVID hit. Yeah, how have things changed, I suppose, in the last 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, so during especially the last 2 years COVID, right, we thought like it was the end of Khaki Repair because from a physical session, which repairing is a very physical thing, right? You have to use tools, you have to have your items present, and you need people to come and help you take a look at it and things like that, right?
Yeah.
But it was actually a blessing in disguise because when COVID hit, we were like nearly around 2,000 members. When we spoke, we were at around 1,000 members.
Yeah.
And because everyone needed their items fixed at home and the only place to go is online, so they went up to the Khaki Repair Facebook group. Okay. And today, yeah, we have a tremendous growth. And today we are actually at 28,000 members. And,
oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah,
and crossing to 29, I think, tomorrow.
Congratulations. Actually, that is no surprise to me. I am part of the group and I see how active you guys are. I'm a very quiet sort of observer, but I love how everybody, you know, they send in their problems. There'll be like so many comments, people trying to help them diagnose what's happening, how to fix it. It's really a lovely movement, you know, a community movement.
Yeah, and this one also, of course, thanks a lot to like you guys, because end of the day, you all help to share and you know, talk about this particular movement, because end of the day, you know, this is not a business entity.
Yeah.
It is for everyone to share and learn and collaborate. And this organic movement is the one that helps with the whole growth.
Okay. All right. So I guess because of COVID, you've been very active online. You've also got a knowledge platform. Am I correct?
Yes, correct. So because of the tremendous growth that's happening last year, so myself and a few of the volunteers, which we call it the leaders or moderators in Kaki Repair, right? We got together and also we got help with an accelerator program because early last year, we were selected to be the top 1% most impactful communities on Facebook group by Facebook globally.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. And with that, Facebook actually provided us with support in a Facebook Community Accelerator program. Mm-hmm. There's actually four of us selected the first time from Malaysia, mm-hmm. Four different groups. And Kaki Repair is one of them. And we are given like training and guidance how to, you know, manage the group using various tools, the various process and structure, how do we build good goals and objective and all that and create better outcomes and impacts. Mm-hmm. And with that, with this particular program, we sat down and we found out there are certain gaps within Kaki Repair Group. Of course, it's an online thing and it's free, so it should be good enough, but we wanted it to be even better, right? One particular pain point is always the same questions being asked again and again, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it comes from two things. One is users' awareness of not knowing how to use the Facebook group. So they can't, you know, search back, or they don't know how to search back. And it's actually quite a hassle to search back in Facebook groups, especially a crazily active group like ours, where you have like 400 postings a day.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So sometimes you ask a particular question, it has like 300 comments, mm-hmm. but it's buried with new topics, right? And yeah. It goes down very fast.
Yeah.
So with that, we then created a knowledge management platform.
Okay.
Basically, it's based off a forum. So 20 years ago, I'm a huge forum geek. I like to go into forums and, you know, share ideas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But forums until today is still very ugly, traditional looking. It's all text-based and there's topics and subtopics and you have to click inside to find stuff, right?
Yeah.
It might not be appealing to most users.
Mm-hmm.
So the team got together. We have some developers. We also engaged some external developers and we built a hybrid. Just imagine it is a Pinterest/Instagram. Okay. Plus with a forum platform, okay. Plus with all the search and tagging and sharing, you know, features all in one.
That's amazing. Yeah. Gosh.
Because end of the day, information has to be presented beautifully. So that's our knowledge management platform. And actually, we just launched it this week.
This week. Okay. All right. Yeah. Excellent. And how does one actually get to access it? You know, how do they get, where do they go for that?
Okay, very easy. Just go to kakirepair.com. That's our website.
Mm-hmm.
And in our website, on the top side, you will see a knowledge management platform link. When you click on it, it actually goes to kakirepair.com/content. And that's our system. So in there to sign up is very easy as well. We don't want to force people to fill up a lot of, you know, as usual, your name, like email and stuff like that. You can just use single sign-on by using Facebook single sign-on connect.
Okay.
But for people who aren't on Facebook, no worries. You can still go through the traditional way to sign up. And once you're in, you can browse through all the contents, the topics. And if you're just here to browse around, it is even better because we will be suggesting you topics that might be interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out in a pretty Instagram-ish way, videos. You can just click on it and you start playing and things like that. So because we realize that in our demographic, right, we have a strong 30% senior citizens. And yeah, one of our life skill projects that we are working with some senior citizens and retiree group is on life skills, right? On lifelong learning. And we wanted them to be part of this system as well. So make it easy.
Okay, so it's open to everyone, and you know, there's videos, there's pictures, there's descriptions of how to do things. Everything is there, pretty much, right?
Yes, correct. And one very important point that I need to point out, because in Facebook groups or discussion or any other platforms, right? Usually, you ask one question, you have like let's say 20 different replies and comments, right?
Yeah.
In the 20 different comments, you have some which are real good comments, some which are just joking, trying to be funny. Which is okay. It's kind of funny, some of the comments, memes and stuff. And some really just keyboard warrior-ish things of like, you know, condemning your actions, right? So what we are trying to do with this platform is we let the community upvote and downvote comments.
Okay.
It's something like a Quora or Yahoo Q&A, right?
Yes.
So for those good comments that are working and things like that, for good suggestions, communities can upvote them so that they appear as the first or the second comments.
Okay,
excellent. Yeah, and those that are not good, those have a lot of downvotes, will be automatically deleted.
Okay. All right. Sounds like an excellent platform. I can't wait to check it out. I guess people just need to head to kakirepair.com. Is that correct?
Yes, kakirepair.com. Just from our Facebook group itself, it can be linked over as well.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And you know, something else that the group did, of course, was to help out folks who were affected by the floods. We'll find out more about how you helped the communities at Sri Muda. So that's coming up after this quick break. Today, I'm speaking to Johnson Lam. He's the founder of Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair. We're talking all about what the group does, which is basically to recycle, reduce and reuse. We'll find out more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Johnson Lam. He is the founder of Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair, whose basic motto is to recycle, reduce, reuse. You know, the group has grown exponentially in the last few years, empowering and enabling people to reduce waste by reusing broken items, learning how to fix them, or maybe make upcycle them into something new. And as Johnson told us before the break, the group has really helped so many people, almost 30,000 strong now, just on their Facebook group. And I do want to point out also that these devastating floods that happened recently, right? You guys were so wonderful. You stepped in to help the residents of Sri Muda in particular, along with other groups, of course, right? You stepped in to fix appliances, electronics that were damaged by the floods. Tell me a little bit about that.
All right. So when the flood happened, right, of course, immediately, number one, we have a surge of people actually asking in the group, how to get this repaired, because like, you know, all my things are flooded, what should I do and things like that. And there are also a certain group of people started to ask for help, saying that, you know, they need help to repair all these things, can someone come on and help and things like that. So there's a lot of all these messages coming into the group.
Okay.
And then there were some coordinators and some people who say like, okay, let's go towards Hululangan, let's go towards Sri Muda, they need help and all these things, right? And the opportunity came when actually a few of our different groups, okay, we have some Tukang Apaharini group, Kaki Repair groups and all that, say that, okay, why not let's collaborate and find a place, and then after that we all get together and do some fix and repairs, right? Originally, of course, you know, Kaki Repair is all about you bringing your items and then we fix it together. Mm-hmm. But for this particular case, it's a special case because we can't expect the house owners and the victims of the flood to come and sit down together and repair, right? Yeah. Because they still have a lot of things to do at home. They have to clean up and it's so already emotionally stressed up.
Yeah.
So we say like, okay, let's do it slightly different. We gather our volunteers, we repair for them. And that's how this got started. And we were provided a hall in Dewan Sri Muda by the MBSA. And we got together and wow, magic happened because people start coming in and there's a lot of miscoordination because there's so many things and not enough volunteers.
Sure.
However, there are also volunteers coming out from schools. There are people without any technical skills coming out to help. And everyone just fall into place. We have people doing administration work. We have people doing sorting. And actually 70% of the job is actually cleaning because the appliances coming in, right, is full with mud, right, inside and outside. So we have team number one cleaning the outside. Okay, mostly consists of ladies and homemakers. Thank you very much for coming out and cleaning it all up and then put it to station number two, right? And then station number two, what we do is we get some students to open up the main casing, and inside is full with mud. So they go to the washing station, which another volunteer actually brought a water jet cleaner, which now I know how important it is. It's not just to wash your car and to clean your drains, right? Yeah, we water jet the inside of the circuit, okay, to get away all the mud. If not, when we repair it, right, it's going to cause overheating and short circuit. Yeah.
Okay.
Then the other station is to air dry. So they use also volunteers and some schools brought in the air blower. So we blow dry all the water and all that, put it under the sun, and then it goes into the technical section. So technical section is where, you know, the experts are from. Okay. So we'll be there sitting down and doing the diagnosing and fixing and all that and testing. One is done, go back to the main casing and put it back and put it back to the administration station, and they will pick it up and then call up the owners to get it back. Yeah.
That's
so
wonderful.
That's how it goes.
Okay. Okay. That's amazing. And everything's so well planned, like you said, and not just, I think, you know, when people hear they want to volunteer for something like this, they imagine they must have the sort of skill sets required to fix things, but no, right? It's also admin, it's just washing and cleaning. As you said, the bulk of the work was cleaning, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Communication and the whole logistic part actually takes most of the work. And everyone can communicate. Everyone has at least, you know, a pair of hands and legs to move about. So that is most of the work that's needed. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering, who are all the volunteers that came? You said like there was just homemakers. It was, you know, the folks from all the different groups coming together. So basically, it was a real community response to this. Am I correct?
Yes, it is. And of course, in any type of community response or collaboration, right, the first few hours requires a lot of, you know, communication and aligning things.
Sure.
Yeah. So as usual, the first few hours was a bit of a mess. Like, okay, people are coming in. So let's record this on this paper first and that paper. And then suddenly we have all kinds of tracking and duplicated numbering system. So yeah, it was improved along the way. Okay. And I think, you know, corporate bosses and all that would love to see this, because there is real life problem solving, process improvement, whether you're Six Sigma or BPI, everything is being applied over here. And by the end of the second day and third day, and actually even the last day, we are still improving it. But by the end of the last day, right, you start to realize that, wow, we have a proper tracking system, there's status systems, even the stations that I was talking about, it was evolving throughout the days to get to this the streamlined process. And this is the one that we are applying to the next places and the current places that we are in. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And of course, you know, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the other missions that are coming up, but you also managed to salvage a lot, right? I mean, so many things were, you know, people, I think, just thought that was the end of all that stuff, but you did manage to salvage a lot. Tell me a bit about that.
Okay, yeah. So totally for Sri Muda itself, we have over 300 plus appliances that are brought in.
Okay.
And I tell you, appliances means everything electric and electronics you can find under the roof. Okay. And some of them you won't imagine that you will have it or buy it, right? Yeah. So most of it, I tell you, it's of course your standard ovens and rice cookers, you know, there are fans, a lot of fans. Laptops and TVs, right? And yeah, so the good thing is, other than the laptops and the TVs, which are a little bit complicated, it has screens and a lot of components, the other items, we have a success rate of more than 90% able to be salvaged and workable, okay? Of course, workable, there's a caveat to that. It's not like 100% perfect. For example, it might look a little bit rusty. We try to polish it as much as possible. For things that with screens, you might be still finding some water droplets or bubbles inside the screen. But in terms of the function itself, it's still working, right?
Okay.
That's most important, because end of the day, one, we are reducing a lot of waste going into the landfills. 90%, that's like what? Okay, we service over 300 plus items, right? So it's close to 300 items saved from
landfills.
Ended up in the landfills.
Yeah.
And second, just imagine the cost savings from not needed to buy a new one, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that okay. helps a lot.
Oh gosh, that's really great to hear. And I'm sure, you know, all the people that you help were so grateful. You know, it's just one less thing that they need to worry about, isn't it? Yeah, okay. I mean, it's really wonderful that we've been hearing and seeing that, you know, how the community came together to support and to help each other. And that's really wonderful. And I think, you know, that is something else that's very important that, you know, the community is the one that came together to sort of, to help out in these floods. And I mean, one thing is quite clear, we're not prepared for emergencies. We're not thinking about emergencies, you know, and, you know, with climate change, with changing weather patterns and the possibility of more severe weather events happening, of course, it's becoming a reality. And water and electricity, I mean, that is just, we've been taught since we were young, right? Dangerous combination. I guess, you know, if we were to face a similar situation, you know, touch wood, that doesn't happen again. If we see waters rising in our homes, what should we first do in terms of managing our electricity supply? What would your advice be?
All right. So for electricity, one thing good about Malaysian houses, all individual houses, you will have a circuit breaker. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. And this circuit breaker is not the Singapore equivalent of our MCO or PKP. Yeah. Although it meant the same thing. Okay.
Yep.
Circuit breaker is to break the circuit, is to break the chain, right? So go look somewhere near your meter, your house meter. Okay. There's usually these very big junctions with a lot of huge switches. Yeah. There's one main one. Okay. Just off it and you'll realize that all the electricity in your house has been cut off. Okay. That's very important. Okay. Sometimes I know it's middle of the night. You needed the lights to look to you know, salvage things and things like that, or move things about. But to be safe, still turn off the circuit breaker. Because don't forget, most of our power points and power plugs are actually very low near the floor level.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the moment water comes up, okay, by right, circuit breaker will trip by itself.
That's
okay.
Right.
By right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes we are dealing with houses that are quite old and circuit breakers can spoil as well. And if it's not tripping, there are two things that will happen, right? One, your electric devices, appliances, right? When submerged with water and the electric current is still running, immediately it's going to short out all your, you know, the microchips inside and things like that and cause permanent damage.
Okay,
we don't want that to happen.
Okay.
The second one is more important. This electricity is going to electrify the water and you're stepping on it and you will get electrocuted. And that will cause death. So switch off circuit breaker first. That's most important. Okay. And in the circuit breaker, there's one main circuit breaker and there's a lot of individual small ones as well. Actually, if you switch off the main one, means there's no more current going to the small one. But to be double safe, just switch off all of them.
Okay.
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 Second, after the circuit breaker part is actually your individual plug points. Okay. It is good to be able to switch off each of them and also unplug them as well. Okay. There are people who ask, I mean, you already switched off the circuit breaker by right. There's no more electricity. Why you are still pulling this out, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget that when you are flooded, your neighbors are also flooded, right? And some electrical system, they are sharing certain things. For example, they're sharing the earth cable.
Earth cable. Okay.
Yeah. The earth cable is the grounding that is connecting everything to earth, right? Kind of thing. And sometimes in a terrace house and things like that, the same earth cables travels around the whole row. Okay. What if your neighbor is still, you know, the electricity is still charging, is still running, right? And the water shot on the earth cable and then it travels through and comes to your house, right?
Sure.
So it's best to also plug that off. Okay.
Okay.
Besides, you are also saving your appliances. So you plug it off. Okay, pull out the plug and then put your appliances as high as you can. Okay, on the table, on top of the cupboard, on top of the fridge. Okay, fridge, you can't move it because it's too heavy. It's fine. No worries. Okay, save the smaller items, your microwave, your kettles and stuff like that. Put it on the fridge. But of course, certain places is really, really unfortunate. The water went up all the way to the roof. So everything is submerged.
Yeah.
However, but if you already switch off the circuit breaker, you already unplug it, the chances of getting this revived later on, as you can see from our movement, is 90%. So at least it's 90% rather than if it's all plugged in with electricity, permanent damage.
Okay. Okay. So then the same thing, I guess, for all the appliances, right? Just unplug it, put it somewhere as high as possible or somewhere that's the safest possible place in the house in the event of rising waters. Am I correct?
Yes, correct. Okay. So there are a few other hacks as well. Mm. If you are, you know, you have those big, thick garbage bags, you can put the small appliances inside, wrap it up to be airtight. At least if they are floating around in you know, roof-high floods, they are still dry and safe inside. Okay. Yeah, and I've seen some hacks shared by some neighborhoods. They have these inflatable swimming pools, right? Yes. They just empty the water and the whole thing is actually floating. So every important thing, they just put it inside.
Interesting. And then sort of like, I guess, anchor float it around to something? Or no? Okay.
Float around inside the house. If it's not totally submerged, it's still fine. Yeah.
Okay. So invest in some sort of like waterproof packaging as well, right? Just keep it handy, like huge ones or something. That is a possibility as well.
Yeah. Actually, cling wraps are good hacks. Mm-hmm. Because end of the day, you have pails at home. You have those, you know, those little plastic boxes that you can close with a lid.
Yes.
Yeah, they are not airtight. However, after you put in things inside, you close it up, you cling wrap or shrink wrap around it, it will become watertight and airtight.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So that at least will save a lot of your important documents and appliances. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, keep these sorts of, I guess, receptacles handy, isn't it? Like if you know that your area is prone to floods or you've already suffered from floods, these are just simple things that you can immediately sort of put into action and protect your things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Any other hacks you want to share?
I think, yeah, that should be okay. One particular one, which is very important, which I do all the time. I always make sure that my important documents and all that are in these suitcases and bags in the safe area. Mm. Because in any event of evacuation, including earthquakes and whatever, right? Yeah, at least you know that you can just quickly go there, you grab it, and then you run.
Yeah.
Like your passports and, you know, your documents, ICs, birth certificates and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Because the biggest headache that I always have for this sort of thing is actually not the appliances and stuff, because those things, at least you can buy and replace.
Mm.
But documents, original certificates and things like that, you can't replace that.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So keep those all in like a secure place as high as possible, and just remember where you kept it, more importantly, so that, you know, if an emergency hits, you know where to go. Okay. And aside from just protecting ourselves, I guess, you know, what would your advice be for us to help our neighbors or even our communities to prepare? I think we saw in Sri Muda, like there were a lot of senior citizens and elderly citizens living there who just didn't know, you know, couldn't do much, you know. What are some practical advice that you can share for that?
Yeah, I think this is the most important one, because end of the day, materialistic things, materials can always be replaced. Even, okay, the certificates and stuff.
Yeah.
A human life, you have only one, right?
Yeah.
So when things like that happen, elderly and children, try to get them evacuated first. It's just like the safety messages in the airplane, right?
Yeah.
Women, elderly and children goes first, right? So get them to high places, okay? And for neighborhoods in orderly manners, okay? Sometimes I see a few of the tamans and all that, right? They were stuck because of traffic jam and their car broken down in the middle of the road and the rest of them can't go out. Mm-hmm. Okay, work together to make sure that the escape routes and path are cleared up, okay? I think in neighborhoods today, everyone should have this particular meeting. Like, you know, where's the nearest highest ground and how are you going to evacuate and do all this when something like this happens, right?
Yeah.
It's just like fire escape, fire drills in schools and in buildings.
Mm.
Now, this is flood drills for a location. Yeah.
Okay.
So get that done first. And a few representatives then in the household, stronger ones and not to be sexist, guys, yeah, volunteer yourself to save your household stuff. But that shouldn't be the highest priority. Life should always be the first one.
Okay. All right. Definitely good advice there. I mean, I think, you know, some things that I saw people advising, you know, like have a bottle of fresh water, because even if you hit to the roof and you're stuck there, you know, have some water with you, because it could be hours before rescue efforts come, right? As we saw happening, you know, it was horrible to see. But yeah, so some fresh water, you know, if you need your medications, have your medications handy. You know, these are the sorts of things we need to always be prepared for, unfortunately, right? Okay, so we're just going to go for a quick break, but when we come back, I'll get Johnson to share some handy resources we can all use to arm ourselves with the right knowledge in the event of future emergencies. I'm speaking today to Johnson Lam on Live and Learn, and we'll be back with more on BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and with me on the show today is Johnson Lam. He's the founder of both Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair, whose motto is to recycle, reduce, and reuse. And just before this last break, Johnson shared how we can be prepared for future emergencies or floods, especially when it comes to protecting our household appliances. And now, Johnson, you know, aside from, I guess, you know, joining Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair and all the forums that you've already provided, what are some other resources you recommend we go to, you know, to arm ourselves with the right knowledge and know-how in order to be better prepared for any sort of emergency?
Yeah, definitely the biggest search engine in the world, which is Google, right?
Yeah.
And Google is actually not just a search engine. Okay, especially if you are signed on into any of the Google accounts like Gmails and things like that, right? Google actually provides you with flood alerts. If you look at Google Maps, there are layers which you can add, like flood alerts, the nearest emergency places, the nearest, you know, shelters and rescue and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, that should always be, you know, if you are self-serving, that should always be the main resource, right?
Okay.
To go to. But of course, you know, when things like this happen, sometimes you are cut off from the internet and stuff like that. That's why you always have to be prepared. Go and learn first, right? Mm-hmm. Don't wait until things happen, only panic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one. Second, I think the whole community spirit and community mindset plays a very important key here. Know your neighbors. I think in the taman, right, especially in the housing area and things like that, know your neighbors, because things like this happen, the only people that can help each other are your next door neighbors.
Yeah.
The rescue workers and things like that might have problem coming into you. It's just like ambulances can't even come in because there were floods in other places and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those are the things that, you know, can get one prepared.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And, you know, as I'm speaking to you now, you're already at your next repair mission in Kuala Langat. I think this is involving folks from Sepang, Dengkil and Banting. You're helping out similar to what you guys did in for the Sri Muda folks. Am I correct? What's happening? Tell me what are you guys up to there?
So basically, yeah, we are doing and replicating the same because we learned a lot from the previous rescue missions, repair missions. So over here in Dewan Orang Ramai Kuala Langat, we are actually doing the same thing. You can get flooded items to be brought in. Okay, get your items registered. The volunteers will help you diagnose and clean it up and fix it. And once it's done, we'll call you up. But even if you're not being called out, might be some problems with the network or something like that, please come by before the end of the session, which is on Saturday, to come and pick it up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And are you still looking for volunteers? Is it too late if anybody's interested to come and join you guys?
Oh, no, it's never too late and it's never enough people. The more people, the better. Yeah, please, if anyone is free and around the area, please come by and volunteer. Yeah, we are at the Day One Orang Ramai Kampung Bukit Canggang, which is in Kuala Langat. Okay. You can find more info in our Facebook group, Kaki Repair or Kaki DIY. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to also give a message out here as well, right? So there are a lot of these, I would say maybe charity repair centers that's going around, mm-hmm, to help out flood victims and people who are impacted by, you know, all this tragedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
To some people, please do not also take this advantage by sending your actually broken items, but you are not impacted by the flood, just because they are free service you drop by, right?
Oh no, I didn't even think of that. Okay.
Yeah, because in Sri Muda, we have not a lot, but we encounter a few, drove all the way from PJ with like quite new items which are totally dried and no mud at all. And I was like, what's wrong with this? Oh no, I bought it last year and it stopped working. So here, free service, right? Nah, here, service. I was like, we are prioritizing for only victims. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Don't do that, people. Don't do that. That is terrible. Okay. Yes, this is for flood victims. These are who have been impacted really badly by what's happening. And we're still seeing rain, aren't we, Johnson? I mean, it's quite, I think there's so much fear, isn't it, that another flood is going to come. So yeah, let's please prioritize those who are in need. And as you said, also any sort of volunteer, right?
Yeah, any. Because end of the day, I mean, 70% of the work is actually cleaning and logistics. So we need manpower and brains for that as well. Brains, because there's always process improvement. There's always streamlining and can be done better, right?
Yes,
and
of
let's
course.
Do it better, because end of the day, we are teaching the next group how to be more efficient as well.
Okay. All right. Well, what would be most helpful to you guys from the public at, you know, at this current time, you know, anything that you'd like to call out for or anything like that?
Okay. Yes. One particular one as well is partially a rant, but not. I'm very thankful. One is, yes, things like this happen. I'm very thankful that there's a lot of people sharing, like, you know, this location needs help, that location needs help. Let's all, what do you call that? Donate this, donate clothes and donate food and things like that. Please try to validate the situation, because so far, a few places that I went to, right? Mm-hmm. The food is never a problem. I won't say never a problem, sorry. I mean, the first day itself and things like that, yes, food might be a problem because they are stuck in the roof and things like that. So sending food helps a lot.
Okay.
But do validate again the next day and things like that before you send more, because I tell you, there are mountains of food, like nonstop, and a lot gone to waste. I've taken pictures of them. I did not upload any social media. Okay. They are just fresh packs of like 50 packs of food and all that just dumped away because it gone bad. There's no place to store them because there's no electricity, no fridge.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, in terms of things happening like that, right? Coordination and communication is always the key. Try to validate the situation. And there's also some sharings that they just keep on sharing that this particular area actually has been cleaned out and everyone is happy and all that. But more volunteers have been called for, but it was actually a week old, right?
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
And the other thing is also that one is flooded my group and also my personal WhatsApp and Facebook. I mean, I'm very thankful that everyone is trying to help. However, I mean, before you send over this and suggestion and stuff like that, it will be great also if someone can take the initiative to help coordinate as well. Like, for example, instead of saying that, Hulu Langat needs help, you guys should go. Okay, the first question will be like, instead of you guys should go, what is my or your capacity to do something about it?
Sure.
If yes, you don't have the technical skills, no problem. At least call out the people in Hulu Langat or in the victim places and things like that. Find a contact person, help to coordinate, get at least a location and a name or a contact, then only share to the relevant party. At least that's one step better, right? Because I've been getting a lot of, you should go here, you should go there. Oh no, this is best if you do this, best if you do that. Yeah, we all know, just that it's under-resourced and we hope we have more coordinators and helpers as well.
Yeah, and you're all volunteers at the end of the day, isn't it? So you're all doing this out of, you know, your own goodwill. So yeah, I mean, everybody should, I mean, if you've got all these suggestions, help out as well, isn't it? I mean, not just tell someone else to spend their time. Okay, all right. Noted, definitely, Johnson. I can't imagine actually what you're going through, but, you know, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I guess there, you know, just to kind of conclude, any final message that you'd like to leave us with? I mean, maybe, you know, what have you guys got in store for 2022 as well in terms of Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair?
Wow, huge plans actually for 2022.
Lovely.
Yeah, all because of two things. One is, of course, the Facebook Accelerator program, which helped us propel and also plan properly. So in 2022, we have aggressive plans to be able to start a physical repair session in each state in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So we are working with community leaders, we are working with makerspace and space owners, educational space owners, to be able to host Kaki Repair and, you know, sustainably every month run their own repair event. So that will be happening. Second, it is actually my 5-year project, but I shortened it down to this year. I'm actually rebuilding my third version of a moving makerspace, which I call it the maker event.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, so that time when I shared, it was version 1 and we are starting version 2.
Okay.
Now it's version 3. The first one was just a van.
That's right.
But
yeah,
we got stuck in rural areas in the mud and stuff like that.
Okay.
So the second version, we built a 4x4 with a built-in awning and stuff like that, so everyone can sit under the 4x4. And as usual, it's solar powered. So it's, you know, free, sustainable energy off grid and stuff like that.
Sure.
But one thing about the 4x4 is limited with space, right? So all our tools, you have to pack into the boxes inside, And every time we reach a location, we have to unpack and it wastes a lot of time. So version 3 is a combination of 1 and 2. And as usual, we always learn and improve, right? So version 3 is actually modified from a very old motorhome / camper van. Nice. Yeah. So it is a moving lab. And when we arrive this time, within 15 minutes, you can just open up the awning and set up shop. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh,
and
wow.
It's also the most kiasu thing ever, which because I validated this idea with a lot of camper van and motorhome owners, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our very small camper van is powered by 480 watts of factory industrial grade solar panels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I needed this power for all the power tools and the laptops and our training and the TVs and stuff like that, right? Mm. And it is so efficient. Because I tested this camper van sleeping in and things like that. At 6:30 in the morning, at the brink of sunrise, right? It's already generating power.
Amazing. Wow. Hey, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So, and I think the final word I want to end up with, okay? So previously, Kaki DIY is always saying about reduce, reuse, recycle and upcycle, right? Mm-hmm. So this one for 2022, I'm asking for CCV, right? Not your credit card CCV 3-digit number. No, I'm not a scammer or asking for money. So CCV stands for communication, collaboration and validation. Okay. Why? It's because number one, as usual, communication is key. That's how we get to know what's happening. That's how we share ideas. That's how we share experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Second is collaboration. That's what humans do, right? We come together, you have one particular skill, the other person have one particular skill, you share, you collaborate, and more stuff's going to come out from there, right? Yeah. We collaborate with, you know, individual to individual, individual to companies or businesses, to startup and agencies and government. If we can do that as a nation, I think it's going to be a very powerful nation, right? Yeah. Last but not least, validation. This one came very, very importantly ever since, actually, from even when the pandemic starts. Mm. Because there's a lot of fake news, unvalidated news and all out there. Do a little bit of validation or sanity check before you click on share. Yeah. Especially, you know, vaccine news. People talking about like, oh, this is good, this is bad. Oh, this is bad. Let's not take the vaccine. Come on. Who is validating all this, right?
Yeah.
Same with rescue, same with repair as well. Okay, for example, one very famous validation thing about a particular lubrication brand, right? That they say like, it's made out of fish oil, this blue can thing.
Okay. I didn't hear about that, but okay.
Okay, maybe I can... I mean, it's a common brand. It's WD-40, right?
Ah, yes. Okay, yes.
Okay, WD-40 is made out of fish oil. Everyone, yeah. I think majority of the people is sharing this. But please get it validated. It is not. Okay, don't eat it. However, WD-40 is good to spray on your fish bait and catch certain fishes. It's quite effective. Oh. WD-40 shouldn't be used as a lubricant for your chains. Okay? There's a caveat to that. If the chain is not overheated or is having low movement, is fine and things like that. So news like this, even technical news like this, at least get it validated and verified before sharing. Mm. If not, it might be sensational, but people are doing it wrong, right? Mm. So CCV, communication, collaboration, and validation. I wish that I can jive it with like BFM, but I can't. It's CCV. Yeah.
We'll find something, I'm sure, the next time I catch up with you. I'm sure you'd have come up with a BFM acronym. But thank you so much, you know, for sharing all that really useful and helpful advice. And again, you know, if anybody would like to find out more, they just need to head to kakirepair.com or follow you on Facebook. It's at @kakidiy or kakirepair by kakidiy. Am I correct on Facebook?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. My thanks again to Johnson Lam, the founder of Kaki DIY and Kaki Repair. He was telling us all about how we can, you know, protect our appliances from floods and also how we can help others, most importantly. And if you miss any part of today's interview, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/learn or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.